FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is March 29th, 2016. Economy, well, some people actually believe we are in an expansionary phase. The numbers coming out right now tell a contrary story. But person you're about to hear from, well-known economist, investor, writer, basically his theories have had profound impact upon government budgets and theories. Ronald Reagan used your theory, George, as the basis of Reaganomics. And you've got a book that was released yesterday entitled The Scandal of Money. And that's what you're here to talk about. And we're really thrilled to have you on.
Well, great to be here.
So Scandal of Money, which I guess the crux is Wall Street recovers, Main Street struggles onward. And why is that happening and what can be done about it?
Because Washington and the Federal Reserve together have created a closed-loop economy where the Fed creates money for the government and the Fortune 500, and no one else gets any. It's a closed-loop economy where the Fed decides what money is worth and who gets it and prices it at zero interest rates. And whenever anything is free, it gets distributed by queue, and only the people in the front of the line get any. The people, the privileged people who have a relationship to the government win all the benefits. And this is a covert socialization of the American economy through the Fed and a leftist administration.
Well, when are the people who aren't on Wall Street, have they woken up to this fact? Do they understand?
I think they're waking up to it. I think they have a real sense of uneasiness, but they don't understand what's wrong. They're tending to blame capitalism for what is, in fact, centralization of the U.S. economy and domination of it by Washington. This is the first recovery on record where the number of jobs in small businesses under 500 employees, has been shrinking steadily. All the new jobs have come from big corporations and governments. Yes. And it's a kind of socialization of the U.S. economy, and it's got to stop, or we're going to become a sleepy time, stagnant, static kind of system.
And so this system, we've kind of been transitioning to this for quite a while here, George.
Yeah,
you could go back arguably to FDR, or you could go back even earlier to the First World War, when basically the government took over factories, they took over railroads in the name of the then emergency that was occurring. But we've kind of been making this shift for arguably 100 years.
Yeah, I think there was a big turning point after the Second World War when, contrary to the advice of all the dominant economists, we elected a Republican Congress in 1946, and it reduced government spending by 61%. It dismantled most of the big new bureaucracies created under the New Deal during the war, and it saved capitalism, I think. We cut tax rates in half by creating the joint return and greatly reducing the taxation of business. And it was just an amazing turnaround that saved world capitalism, I think, because, Britain went the other way and became socialist. The socialism was ascendant after the Second World War. But that Republican Congress that everyone hated and was unanimously denounced in all sort of elite circles, saved the economy.
Yeah, I think that's a common thing that most of you out there don't really know, is that the Depression didn't really end in World War II. It wasn't until after World War II when all of these policies that prolonged the Great Depression, that Congress that you referred to, George, repealed much of it. And that's when the economy really took off. Until that point.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the real pivotal next move was in 1971 when Nixon detached the dollar from gold. And we had just the malaise decade of the 1970s when interest rates went crazy and oil spiked and we had the energy crisis. And all this was an effect of leaving the gold standard. And we didn't really recover from that until Reagan took office and Volcker actually targeted gold. Targeted the gold price and effectively ended the runaway economy that had been created by detaching money from any stable source of value.
And we're right back where we started again. Money has no, in the U.S., the dollar has no linkage whatsoever to gold. And in fact, many argue, and kind of notion to believe it myself, that the Fed routinely manipulates the price of gold to make the dollar and fiat currency look better than it actually is.
Well, in any case, the dollar floats. And so we have currency trading determining the value of the dollar, playing the role that gold used to play. And currency trading is now $5.4 trillion a day. That was 3 years ago when the Bank of International Settlements last calculated it. It will release new numbers in a few days, actually. But that's 73 times all the trading in goods and services in the world economy. It's 26 times all the GDP of all of the whole world economy. It's a scandal. It doesn't even establish a value of money that's more stable than the economic activity that it ostensibly measures. Ten banks do 77% of all this trading. And with leverage, they can make money on it. But the rest of us don't even get a gauge of value to for our savings or a way to value our investments or prepare for the future. And this is the real scandal of money, is this oceanic currency trading, which is by far the biggest industry in the world economy. Dwarfs agriculture, food production, transport, energy, you name it, IT, information technology, they're all dwarfed by this vast oceanic trade in currencies.
And so we see China and Russia are accumulating vast storehouses of gold.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's why I think we can move. I don't think we're going to be able to call some conference in Bretton Woods and reestablish a gold standard. But I think a gold standard will emerge because other countries, which are growing faster than our newly socialized country, have preparing to tie their currencies increasingly to gold. The Chinese the chief of the Chinese Central Bank has already declared the desire for a new global currency. The Bitcoin blockchain, the new Bitcoin, which mimics gold and is really a gold standard in disguise, is emerging on the internet, and it will be a global currency for the internet, a new layer in the software stack of the internet for transactions and trust. And so I think we can evolve away from this chaos of the scandal of money into a more stable regime, provided we don't elect more socialists.
Yeah, well, that's a good question there. And are we going to go back to our roots here, George, to real capitalism?
I think it's to say going back to our roots is not the way to put it. I mean, we're moving toward a modern economy based on information technology. And I believe that capitalism is most fundamentally not an incentive system, but an information system. And it's best understood through information theory that emerged from and created computer technology, the internet, communications tools, all the information processing that goes on is governed by information theory of Claude Shannon and John von Neumann and Alan Turing and Kurt Gödel and all these great figures of the 20th century. And the scandal of money presents an information theory of capitalism where wealth is defined as knowledge. And you know, wealth is knowledge. Cesar Hidalgo, who's an information theorist at MIT, has a good analogy. He says, when an expensive car crashes into a wall, all its value disappears, all its information disappears, even though all its atoms and molecules are preserved. A car is value is information. A car is knowledge. And wealth is knowledge. And if wealth is knowledge, growth is learning. And all the learning curves that are the foundation of the business consultancies in Boston, including Bain and Company, are the real phenomenon. Every doubling of total sales yields 20 to 30% drop in cost per unit. And that is the learning curve. And it's the most important curve in capitalism, I think. And money is time. Money is based on the passage of time. The only thing that remains scarce when everything else becomes abundant, the only secure source of value outside the economy, and it's tapped by gold being measured by the time to extract it, which has hardly changed in hundreds of years because, you know, as the mining equipment improves, the gold to be mined becomes deeper below the earth and thinner.
Absolutely, yeah. It's
That's the information theory of money in the scandal of money.
Uh-huh. And is the U.S. Going to become a third-rate country, a banana republic, or are we going to save ourselves here?
I think we'll save ourselves. Yeah. I think Cruz probably can figure out how to beat Trump and how to beat Hillary. I'm optimistic about this because, you know, if Cruz had learned throughout the campaign and really gotten better and better, if Trump had, he probably could have gotten the Republican nomination. But I think there's a turn against him now, pretty widespread nationally. And I think he will not get the nomination. We'll see, but I think he won't.
Well, going to be interesting to see if that happens. I mean, politics, like horse racing, I guess you really never know. But certainly, it's somewhat doubtful, I guess. But we don't know. You know, we got an emerging Cruz scandal, perhaps.
What's that?
Supposedly, the National Enquirer came out.
That stuff. Yeah.
So
I think people, can see through a National Enquirer.
They've been right in the past about a lot of things.
I mean, look what happened. If anything, Clinton got more popular during his scandal.
Yeah,
I don't think these sex scandals mean anything.
Yeah. Well, perhaps, maybe not, but I think the next few years coming up are crucial, and information's got to get out to the ordinary member of the public about what's really happening here. Saving the banks might have seemed a good idea at the time, but then making them even much bigger and way too big to fail, and then creating other entities which are way too big to fail, like health insurers. I mean, it just goes on and on, George. And
yes, you're right.
You know, makes you wonder whether people really get it. I hope you're right. Hope they do. So, George, I guess we can get your book on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and
and bookstores anywhere.
So great. And we'll put up a link to Amazon in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Really appreciate you coming on the show, and best of luck on the book. Hope the message gets out.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.